Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
So we're out here at the Folklife Farm with Bill Thompson, and we're going to talk a little bit about land use and land conservation and the Folklife Farm itself. But let's start with when you first became interested in farmland preservation. You became interested during the Great Peace March of 1986. What happened during that time? What did you see that made you concerned about farmland?
Well, there were two things going on. Many farmers were losing their land. There was a whole movement to keep doing larger and larger farms, which required larger and larger pieces of equipment and higher levels of debt. And it just didn't seem to be the way to go. I had grandparents in Iowa that were small farmers, and my grandparents on my father's side were orchardists in Southern California. And it just seemed to me that going back to the land was probably one of the more radical things. I was one of quite a few numbers of people that were beginning to think about going back to the land and doing small farming again.
What brought you to Humboldt County in 1989?
Well, June and I had retired from teaching in Palo Alto, and I had always intended to move somewhere where I could get to farmland. And initially, I thought I might get as far as Sonoma County. But by the time I retired, it was city all the way up to Windsor. And so we just kept going until we hit Arcata. We went to the co-op. The bumper stickers all seemed to represent many things that we believed in terms of the economy and farming. And there on the window across from Don's Donuts was a piece of farmland out in Jacoby Creek next to an organic farm, and I said, honey, why don't we buy this? Because I wasn't sure whether I was going to come up here to try to save woods or to try to save farmland, and that happened, and we bought it, and only came to this place by a magical fluke of word of mouth and ended up this close to the farm. It's truly amazing.
So one of the things that you're really concerned with is preserving farmland so that food can be grown on it. And I think what happens a lot of time is it's easier to put houses on flat land. It's easier for the people who are developing the property. So you actually thought about how can we not only keep this land for farmland during our lifetimes, but how can we make sure that this goes into the future like this?
They had already planned to start building that because they were rocking the creek on either side, you know, to channelize it and move it out. And other people recognizing that there was a lot more money to be made in subdividing and selling houses than raising cattle. So I was on a hike, and the Mattole Restoration Council existed there, and I went in to visit with them, and I met Rex Rathbun. And he told me about the Land Trust Alliance in Washington, D.C., with a how-to book. And so I wrote them and started working on how to do this. Formed a board and began to meet people around town. Some of the difficulty, of course, was working with environmental purists who have a disdain for business as such, much of which I can understand. But you can interact with, I mean, you have to be able to interact with the legal banking and general community here. I think it's an idea that's caught on and is helping out here to preserve open space, productive farmland.
And that's the Jacoby Creek Land Trust.
That's the Jacoby Creek Land Trust.
Now let's talk about the Folklife Farm, because I want to
This was just June and my principal residence, and she was an artist and a poet. There was this whole sweep of lawn with the old orchard. The whole farming thing was not her focus. She helped me get Veterans for Peace started here, and I'm beginning to get interested in farmland that's on a hillside, given what's happening in the world in the rising of the oceans, and everything's happening so much faster than anybody's predicted up to this point. I was very fortunate when we moved here, asked a friend who would be a good gardener, Kent Wheeler, was recommended. I came to know him better and recognized that this young man grew up on a homestead and knows how to do everything. So Kent and I started the garden in this direction, trying to decide on what's the size of the greenhouse. Well, with climate change happening, I think we really need a good-sized greenhouse that we can control it as much as possible. So I said, I'd like to have it in the proportions of the Parthenon, because I've come to believe the fantastic relationship between language, numbers, and if there is something magic to the golden triangle or any of those proportions that have come out, it's something like 23-something by 36. And it's a combination that has a 16-foot rise in the back so that the fruit trees are all up on the higher level. And at this moment, it's got a sauna in it. Anyhow, now we're putting in a root cellar. So what we're doing here is taking out some of the largest trees right behind the house and planting orchard now across there.
So is this going to be a place where people are taught about food preservation and
food
growing?
We hooked up with what's called WorkX, and it's not registered like the WOOF, Work on Organic Farms. We're doing the interviewing directly with different people that are traveling around the world for different reasons with different skills. And we tell them who we are and what stage of this development is in. So far, it's worked out just beautifully. The first couple were from French-speaking Belgium. They were coming to the United States first to check out the situation, what's it with the black people. So they went to Louisiana, and they got hooked up with a black church, had a fantastic, wonderful time, and got a different perspective on what black life is, how they live under oppression for hundreds of years and are still solid, solid, beautiful people. And then they wanted to come to Redwoods National Park. And so they came down, and then, of course, they were interested in the anti-nuclear work that June and I had done, and they were interested in farming. Did a really lovely rock wall, and she had a really good sense, artistic sense, and an engineering sense for placing rock. So we're doing all kinds of terracing here. What it will be eventually, I'm not sure. The reason I guess you're here is I mentioned that it had really been helpful to me because I didn't really come out as a veteran until I moved up here to Humboldt County. I was finished with that world. I watched the bombing of Baghdad and wept for a week. So having this to do and working with the land and with flowers and with plants that nourish it, you never are completely repaired from that experience.
I know what you were talking about working with the veterans and working in the garden and working with your hands and growing food and how healing that is. There does seem to be something to that.
There is something to that. It's being recognized, actually, by the VA. There is a farm now down on Camp Pendleton, if you can believe it, started by a vet that was screwed up, started this farm, hooked up with the VA. I don't want to hook up with any government agency, but at my age, they eventually, boosted my disability up to at least 80% and then gave me the rest because I'm too old to work. But actually, I can do a lot of digging sitting down. So that's, in a sense, what's paying for this, is that disability payment.
Now, here at the Folklife Farm, is your hope that young people will come here and
learn
work?
We'll keep doing this WorkX, and it in itself is spreading the word around as people travel. Some people move on sooner. Some are staying a relative long time. What it'll evolve into, I see the whole valley like a classroom or something. I've got an art studio down here. There's a music part of that. So art, music, singing, dancing, growing food, and finding joy in a world there's very little of it. And so that's what we're working on. When my income flow stops, how can this be managed? And always asking the question, what is enough? And enough for Kent and I and most people that are coming here is a place to get clean, a place to get warm, a place to cook food that you've grown, and if you're really lucky, to have somebody really to love.
Well, that's great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Bill Thompson at the Folklife Farm out in Bayside, California. Thank you, Bill.
You're quite welcome.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.